Today we're going to spend some time in these texts on the feeding of the 5,000. Jesus is on a mountainside overlooking the Sea of Galilee. To me, in my mind, it's quite a beautiful picture. And they're having quiet reflection and they're talking about what they've been experiencing as they're trusting and moving forward with Jesus and testing to see, well, how is God at work in their own lives and in the wider world around? But as I mentioned earlier, the crowds are starting to gather quite quickly, and then there are mass crowds. And Jesus, with compassion in his heart, starts to teach of the kingdom of God. It says that there are about 5,000 men in all, but they haven't given the numbers for the women and the kids, so you're looking at least 10,000 people. It is a very big crowd. Using the text from Mark's gospel, we see in verse 6 of the chapter that Jesus is testing them. I'm going to use John's one. I'm going to come back to Mark in a minute. John's gospel. So John 6, verse 6. Jesus tests them. Now, when Jesus tests us, it's not to get a score on a chart of how many points out of 100 have you got. The test is an opportunity. An opportunity to learn more of Jesus, who he is, to experience more fully his character and his nature, to grow in faith, to grow in confidence. It's not like a test to do your GCSEs or something like that, or O-levels or whatever was before O-levels. The crowd start to get hungry as the day goes on. And so Jesus asks them this question, well, how are we going to feed these people? That's the test question. How are they going to be fed? What are you going to do, disciples? Remember, there's this overarching narrative in these chapters where Jesus is saying, you do it. So he's saying to them, well, how are you going to feed them? Who steps forward first? It's Philip in verse 7. And he comes up with an idea and he says, well, I'm looking at this big crowd, and my opinion is this. It would take more than a half a year's wages to buy enough bread for each one to have a bite. In other words, can't be done. That's his opinion. And I bet most of us, and myself included, I'll put my hand up, I'll be thinking that as well. Realistically, you've got thousands of people. What are you going to do? Philip doesn't get criticized. He's sharing a perspective. Next person to step forward, well, I think it's more of a corporate one, because they come up with a suggestion in another gospel, well, let's send them away. Tell them to go home. We've done a lot of teaching today, and we're all pretty tired. Send them home. They can eat some food there. They're not that hungry. They're not going to die. Send them home. Then steps forward Andrew on this teaching program. Verse 8. Andrew comes forward and says, here's a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish. Now, when I was looking at this today, and I've looked at it a lot through this week, what I hadn't picked up was this word small in this verse. It comes out twice. There's small loaves, there's the tiny things, and there's small fish. Enough for a young boy to have some food that his mum's given him. It's small. It really is small. Now, if it had stopped there, we'd have said, what a great man of faith Andrew was. But then what happens is, he carries on the sentence where Andrew then says, looking at his disciples who were looking at him, thinking, well, you've lost your mind if you think that's going to do anything. He says, yeah, but how far will this go? when there's so many? So that you can see the doubt in his mind. Or maybe he's picking it up from the people, the other disciples. I'm imagining he's looking at the faces of the other disciples when he says, oh, look at this. This boy's got these five small loaves and these two fish. Bit like that. Also in this part narrative is the young boy who's willing for these sandwiches to, well, not his sandwiches, but his, well, yeah, maybe sandwiches to be given. I know in my own family, got your sandwiches, you can't pull them off. Now, your kids or grown-up ones now or your grandkids, they might be different. But mine, oh, no, that's mine. The boy's offering them up. And that reminds me that we're all in the mission, younger and older. We're all in it. We're all part. We're all valuable. God uses this little lad, this small boy, with a small amount of fish, with the small loaves. You see what it's trying to get a message over? Small stuff. Nobody's getting criticized. Everybody's given different opinions, and I think we could all at different times relate to all of those. I think there's a bit of all of us in those stepping forwards. Then Jesus comes and says this, verse 10. Right, this is what we're going to do. Have the people sit down in groups of 50 and 100. Verse 10. And I'm getting the numbers from other gospel accounts. So the disciples decide to step forward and do just that. Now that's a big deal because they are now stepping out in faith. Why are they stepping out in faith? Because there's just two small fish and two small barley loaves. Yet they're getting thousands of people organized. There is not a Tesco's lorry driving up full of stuff. They can't say there is nothing. But they step forward in faith that something will. Something's going to happen. Then Jesus prays over the boy's lunchbox. Now, I think that's pretty weird as well, wouldn't it? He gives thanks to God for these five loaves and two fishes, and that's all there is. And there's these masses of people. Isn't that amazing? This is quite a training course they're on, of stepping out in faith with the little that they got. And then the miracle takes place. And the provision keeps coming and coming of lots of fish and lots of bread. And they get to feed these people. They're getting fed. The miracle is taking place. This miracle, spend a few minutes on that. It's not so much an example, although it is, that Jesus does acts of supernatural power. That he can solve a problem instantly. It's not an example, oh, look, Jesus is some sort of conjuring tricks, miracles kind of thing. What it is trying to explain is an example of the light of the kingdom of God breaking through into the darkness of the world around. Breaking into sin and evil and the work of Satan. He's given the example that one day Jesus is coming back again, the new creation, where all that evil is moved away. But in the meantime, and through Jesus, is the light of the kingdom breaking through. And every time, whether you're at work or at home or in your retirement village, whatever it might be, every time that you live out something of the example of Jesus, you're sharing the light and you're breaking through into darkness. You are an example of the kingdom of God. Every time there's a fellowship together, when we gather, we bring light. We bring something of Jesus into our spaces and communities and different ways that we do that as a fellowship all through the week. Every single day there's things going on, morning, afternoon and evening, breaking through the light. But always remember that there is a struggle against evil. There's a struggle against Satan. So there's always that mixture. Things moving forward and then bang. And we're in a spiritual battle. And Jesus there is talking to the people. He's explaining the kingdom. He's training the disciples, but he's carrying a heavy load. His cousin, John the Baptist, Jesus described as there's no prophet greater than John. And he's just been beheaded by the evil Herod. And Jesus knows not only that is a shock, he knows what's coming to him as well in the not too distant future. Yet he is on the kingdom work, pushing forward the kingdom, the light of Christ. He's not giving up. He's going on. He's going forward. And here he is, this demonstrating an example of the light of Christ coming into the world. But it's always done in the context of struggle against evil. We need to remember always, individually and as families and Jesus' communities, not just this one, but all around Chippenham, that in the end, Jesus wins. We're in the winning team. In the end, Jesus wins, no matter what. If you don't get anything else from today, remember, Jesus has got this. Jesus wins in the end. Being a Christian is not easy. Being a Christian is tough. Sometimes it's depicted as being for softies. It's for the toughies. But with a soft heart. Because we're living the Jesus way. For his name's sake. And we're getting the light and hope and joy. We're connecting people with our strapline. Connecting people with Jesus for life. For life. For hope, for more. I think it's a really good strap line that loads of people put together, contributed towards, because it reflects something of kingdom values. A couple more quick bullet points. After the meal, there's 12 baskets left over. They go and collect up all the food. Jesus says, collect up all that's left over. The generosity of God. 12 baskets from five small loaves and 2 fishes. I will get that sorted out one day. I've only heard that story since I was about 3. But you know, in that example, that's it might be an example of my incompetence. Or it might be this, that, you know, we're all a work in progress, aren't we? And just be relaxed with that. These disciples are a work in progress. 12 baskets left over. That you can use on an ecological theme, that recycling, don't have waste. You could do a whole service about the 12 baskets. We are not doing that today. Next bullet point. Verse 35 of this chapter. Same chapter, John chapter 6. Next day, we are told that Jesus is speaking to another crowd. Some of them would have been the same people, but different people probably as well. Well, surely. And Jesus says these words, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. To the crowd, he's saying, remember that miracle? Remember those loaves, those fish, that physical thing that I did? There's a much bigger thing that I do spiritually. I give you what you need for life today, for the present, for the future, and for eternity. I've got it, and it's me. And I want you to have me. There's a full life to be had. And it's in Jesus. And that, he was saying to them, is why I've come. That is why 2,000 years later, we are here today, because Jesus is the bread of life. If today you have not yet said yes to Jesus, then don't delay. Today, say, Jesus, please come into my life. I want to live for the light, not the dark. I want to serve your purposes. For your kingdom come, your world, your will be done. I want to see heaven invade earth, and I want to be part of your plans and purposes. And I've only got 2 little fish, 5 small loaves. And to me, it feels like nothing. But I give it to you, and I'm going to trust you with my little, and that you do as you wish. Your kingdom come. It's a simple prayer, but it's deeply profound. And it's available to each person here and down these streets and in this town and across Wiltshire and across our world. And that is the mission of God. And we, in our ordinariness, me as an ordinary minister who can't count fish, but I can do my little bit, can't I? Just like you can. And sometimes I get it wrong, sometimes you get it wrong, but Jesus doesn't. He has compassion, and we can live with compassion. We don't have all the resources, but Jesus does. And we can be shining lights and break out into the darkness for his name's sake, as Jesus is the bread of life. And that was the training program, the overarching training program of Jesus, and it still is today. Amen.